Good morning, Cross City.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate your bravery. You are amazing. I cannot tell you how grateful I am for that. We're in the final week of this series called Samson. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Judges chapter 16? Again, I thank all of you for being here. I want to thank all of you that are watching online in this crazy year that we've had. I just cannot explain how much God has blessed Cross City Christian Church. It's been unbelievable, and I'm just amazed, and I feel overwhelmed by his blessing. We're going to wrap up this case today of Samson, and if you've missed one or two of the previous weeks, let me do a little bit of recap. We're talking about one of the most exasperating characters in all of the Bible. This guy was given so much by God from birth. From birth, he was called by God. He was set apart by God. He was empowered with supernatural strength. He was given this task to help deliver the Israelites from the oppressive hands of the bad guys. We call the bad guys the Philistines. Some people say the Philistines, but either way, the Philistines. And though he was given all this power and all this divine calling, Samson's a lot like a lot of us guys. He just kept failing over and over again. He was incredibly strong, but he had this huge, dangerous, weak will within him. He broke all of his promises. He broke all of his vows that he made to God. He kept chasing after the wrong women. He kept touching things he wasn't supposed to touch. He kept drinking things he wasn't supposed to drink. He got a really, really bad haircut when he wasn't supposed to get a haircut at all. Brent talked about in his message the emotions of Samson. And one of the problems that we found with him is that Samson was emotionally driven. He was not spirit-led. And that's a lot of problem with some of us guys here. We're emotionally driven. We're supposed to be spirit-led. Last week we talked about how men don't ruin their lives all at once. How do they do it? They do it one step at a time. When I was a kid, I watched this movie. It was made in the year, don't laugh, 1949. Victor Mature and Hedy Lamarr, and she was once considered the most beautiful woman in Hollywood, and there's the picture of it. I saw this, I think, when I was 5 years of age. I've probably seen it 10 times. I haven't seen it in the last 20, 25 years, but it really had an impact on my life. Cecil B. DeMille made it like he made the Ten Commandments, and he added some things in there and took some things out. But it pretty much goes along the way of Scripture. And he basically, the story is he was given so much, and yet he just kept messing up. He blew it big time. He was supposed to be delivering God's people. But now we find Samson, he's a prisoner. His eyes have been gouged out. Most commentaries say they were burned out. They burned those eyes out, and then they just dug out what was remaining. He's in shackles. He's actually doing this thing where he's pushing this big thing. It's called a grinder. Here's a picture from the movie. That's Victor Mature. I think Samson was a little bigger now. I don't know. But he's pushing this thing around, and usually they had animals, the oxen doing that, or some sort of big animals. They had him doing that day after day after day, and they were mocking him. They were making fun of him. They were calling him names, which leads me to ask this question to all of you guys. What do you do when you realize you've blown it? What do you do when you realize you have wasted years that God gave you? You've wasted the gifts that he's given you. You've done things that you can't undo. Maybe you're embarrassed by your actions. You've hurt people that you love. God didn't create you to do that. But the problem is for men, and we take this kind of failure very, very personally. You know, I found that men and women, they find value in different things, in different ways. Ladies, you typically receive value in relationships, right? If that's true, I would like all of the women to say in a very high-pitched voice, that is true. Ready? One, two, three. That is true. See, it's true. That's what women normally do. They get value in relationships. It's all about relationships. Do you like me? Do you love me? Are we friends? Can we hug? Can we cry? It took you 75 seconds to respond to my text. Are we still BFFs? Everything is relational. Even going to the bathroom is relational. Women do not go to the bathroom alone. They always say, would you like to go to the bathroom with me? Sure. Do we know anybody else who could go with us? Anyone want to go? And they go in, and 4 hours later, they come out. We don't know what happens. Men don't do that. We want to be liked. We value relationships, but we value more things that we accomplish. How do we measure up? Did we do good? Can we conquer? Did we win? We want to be liked, but it's not about relationships. And no guy that you ever really trust would you ever say to him, hey, let's go to the bathroom together. You don't do that. And if you go into a bathroom and you know a friend that's in there, you can speak briefly, but you never make eye contact. You just look straight ahead. You look at the wall. That's what you do as a man. Men, really more than being liked, we want to be respected. And so when we blow it, when we fail, we take it personally, and we often feel like we're never going to recover. If you have your notes, I've got a bunch of stuff I want to get to, and I got to do it quickly. But number one, a man's greatest fear is failure, and his greatest pain is regret. For most men, our greatest fear is we don't want to fail. We want to measure up. We want to be successful. When we don't live up to our expectations or somebody else's expectations, typically our greatest pain is regret. I wish I wouldn't have done that. If I could do it over, I wouldn't do that. One day maybe you're going to face some significant regret. Unfortunately, some men will one day have to look their wives in their eyes and tell them to this woman who's been faithful to them for years, who've given birth to their kids, women who have served them. You're going to have to confess, I've been spending too much time on the computer. I've been looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. And as she cries and cries and cries, he'll try to explain the inexplicable, why he betrayed her, why he broke his promise, why he broke his vow, why he chased some floozy at the office. And he'll face the regret of betraying the woman who's been so faithful to him. It might be the failure of some man who's just frustrated because his career isn't really working. He's barely making a paycheck, just paycheck to paycheck. Some of his friends are doing so much better than he is, and he just feels like a failure. It could be a guy that's not marrying anybody. He was dating somebody for a long time, but he thinks to himself now that he's single, I wish I would have treated her better. I wish I hadn't been a selfish jerk. Now I'm all alone. I wish I wasn't. It could be a guy that's married and his marriage isn't really working. It's kind of pathetic, and she knows it's not good and he knows it's not good, but he's not man enough to do anything about it. He just resigns to it. He hates the whole thing, but he doesn't do anything about it. A lot of times it may be an outward failure. Sometimes it's the inward failure that no one else sees that gets to a man. The promises he made to himself. The promises he made to God. He said, I'll never do that again, Lord. And then Thursday he does it again, and internally he feels like a huge failure. Men, we're a lot like Samson. Samson teaches us to embrace, to internalize, to live with this principle. Just because you failed, listen to me, doesn't mean you are a failure. Number two in your notes, a failure is an event. It is never a person. I hope you write that down. We're going to see in Samson's life that he failed over and over again. And when it looks like he failed way too much for God to ever love him or to ever use him again, we're going to see that God will use him again. That God will still accomplish his purpose through a man who failed his whole life. That's good news. Because men, just because you're down, you're not out. Just because you failed at something, it doesn't mean you're a failure. A failure is an event. It's not a person. Verse 23 of Judges chapter 16, it says, "Now the rulers of the Philistines," these are the bad guys, "they assembled to offer great sacrifice to Dagon," their god, small g, "to celebrate, saying, 'Our god Dagon has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands.'" Now you gotta get this picture. They're in a huge, huge temple. We would probably call it a Colosseum. It's huge, and it's got these pillars in there, and there's seats on top of seats, and most commentaries believe there's somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 people in this temple, and they're praising this fake god called Dagon, who had the body of a fish and the head of a man. And they're praising Dagon, and they're making sacrifices to Dagon, and they're saying, "Dagon, we're so excited, we're so grateful that you delivered Samson into our hands." Verse 24, "When the people saw him," Samson, "they praised their god, saying, 'Our god has delivered our enemy.'" Dagon, the little fish god, has delivered Samson into our hands. And then they said, "The one who has done what? The one who has laid waste to our land." A couple weeks ago, Brent was talking about Samson went out and he captured 300 foxes, 300. And then he tied their tails together. So there was 150 pairs of foxes. And then he put some sort of torch in their tails and he sent them all out and it burned, it destroyed the land. He laid waste to our land. And then it says, "And he also multiplied our slain." Remember the time he took that jawbone of a donkey and he killed 1,000 men, 1,000 Philistines. And they're all looking at him now and they're all saying, "This is the guy, this is the guy." Verse 25, "While they were in high spirits, they shouted, 'Bring out Samson to entertain us.' And so they called Samson out of the prison and he performed for them." I don't know exactly what he did. I think they were just making fun of him. It doesn't get much lower than this. Samson is 100%, friends. He is totally and completely shamed, humiliated in front of God's enemies. You could say that he failed massively. And so how do we respond to failure when we fail massively? There are two ways that we normally respond. The first one is the natural response to failure is remorse. That's what a lot of us guys do. "Oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. Oh, I feel really bad about that. I'm a bad person. I'm horrible. I'm no good." Sometimes the remorse will turn inward. "I'm the worst person that has ever lived." I have actually said that to my Lord. I've felt that way at times. In other times, it turns outward into a kind of, you know, I'm the victim. It's somebody else's fault. This wouldn't have happened. I didn't ask for this. It's Delilah's fault. She's the one that came up and was doing all the dancing and tempting me. It's her fault, not mine. Sometimes it's inward. Sometimes it's outward. And unfortunately, men, some of you have just memorized one verse in this whole story. We've been 4 weeks in it, and the only verse you memorized was Judges 16:16 that says, "She prodded him and nagged him day after day until he was tired to death." I just want to remind you, don't quote that to your wife. And don't quote the verse that Brent used in Judges 14, "Don't let anyone plow with your heifer." Those are the two verses you don't need to memorize. memorize some other verses in here. Remorse is what we usually do. We just feel bad over something we did. Regret. But the better response, according to the Word of God, is repentance. Where you say, I own it. It's my fault. I blew it. It's not just, hey, I didn't do what God entrusted me to do. I'm turning away from that which I did wrong. I'm stopping and I'm turning and I'm taking steps in the other direction, in the right direction. That's called repentance. Remember, we talked last week, most men don't ruin their lives all at once. They do it one step at a time. And if you're going in the wrong direction, you need to stop. You need to turn around and go in the right direction. Remorse doesn't cause you to repent. Remorse just causes you to wallow in the past. You feel bad, but you don't do anything about it. Repentance means you turn from the lower to that which is higher. Re means turn. Pent means the highest. We turn from our lower sinful ways and we turn to God's higher ways. It's not I just feel bad about this. I want to change my life. I want to completely turn around. I want to run to God. I want Him to save me. I want Him to redeem me. I want to be used in His plan. I want to be used in His divine purposes. I got to tell you, there are some things, guys, that we've done that we can't undo. You can send an email. And as soon as you hit send, you wish you hadn't hit send. You can send a text. That you wish you hadn't sent. I actually know of two preachers, one I know really well, who both of them lost their jobs because they sent text, and it wasn't to their wives. It was to someone else, but they claim that they meant to send it to their wife. And they lost everything. They lost their jobs. That's not okay. There are some things you cannot undo. You cannot unsend, but you can repent. I told this last night, and I told the, last night, I probably wouldn't tell this today, but when I was first here, and in a couple weeks, I'm going to be celebrating 25 years, but in the first couple years I was here, I was driving down Herndon, and I was on a cell phone, and I was talking to one of the greatest families in this congregation, the nicest, sweetest people I've ever known in my life. And it went to their voicemail. Back then, people had landlines, and it had the tape recorder, you know, in their kitchen, and it was recording. And I was talking to them, and at the end of the conversation, some guy about ran me off the road, and some things came out of my mouth. I ain't lying. And I just pulled over, and I started weeping. I called them. I got a hold of one of the family members. I said, I need to meet you at your house. We met at their, I sat on their porch for about an hour, and one of them showed up, and we went into the kitchen, and we got into that little tape recorder, and they claimed they erased it. I don't know if they did or not. But I wasn't just remorse. I actually did repent. I mean, it just, stuff happens. There are things you do you can't undo. There are things you say you can't unsay. There are things you sin you can't unsin, but you can repent. I believe Samson, he comes to this point in his life where he remembers who he was created to be. He wasn't created to be this entertainment for the enemies. He was created, he was set apart to do something big and significant for God. And my prayer for all of you guys in this room, somewhere along the line of this series and these series of messages, that you will remember why you were created. You were created to glorify God with your life. Please remember who you were created to be. You don't let your spiritual enemy lure you back into remorse, where you just look back and think, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I hate myself. But instead of being remorseful, repentance says, I'm not going to let what I did stop me from doing what God wants me to do. I'm turning away from my sin and I'm turning towards God. Write this down if you can. You cannot change your past, men or women, but you can change your future. Friends, that's good news. Just because you're down doesn't mean you're out. You don't need to internalize your past mistakes. I love the song that Lauren Daigle wrote and sang. It's called You Say. And the lyrics go like this. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I'm weak. You say that I'm held when I'm falling short and when I don't belong. And you say I'm yours. And the chorus goes, I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me, I believe. Friends, we need to take that. We need to remember who God says we are and forget about the stuff we've done in the past. Turn away from it and turn to Him. Verse 25, when they stood him among the pillars, this big temple, this big Colosseum, there's two giant pillars that support the weight of the whole palace. Verse 26, Samson said to his servant who held out his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so I can lean against them. He's just casually kind of saying, I just want to go lean against them, right? But then it says he prayed to the Lord. He had this quiet moment with his creator and he prays to God. He says, oh, sovereign Lord, remember me. Oh, God, please strengthen me once more. I've broken all the promises. I've made mistakes every day of my life. I've blown it 1,000 times. I don't need 1,000 more chances. I've blown it too many times to count, but I don't need multiple opportunities. God, I just need one more chance. One more time, God. Give me your mercy. Give me your strength. Once more. Samson is totally broken. He's finally come to a point in his life, and I think it's the first time in his life, where he realizes it's not all about him. It's all about him. It's all about God. I believe Samson is stepping over a spiritual line. He's moving forward. He's crossing the line. He says, I'm no longer the main character of this story. My God is the main character of this story. And I will use everything I have to honor him and to love him with the remaining breaths of my life. I had a friend come to me recently and say that he had broken a lot of promises to a lot of people. But he said, Brother David, I will tell you this. For the rest of my life, my actions will prove to you and to everyone that I want to honor God with my life. That's once more. One more time, God. Give me one more chance. Give me your love. Give me your grace. Give me your mercy. Give me your strength. And I will use all of it to leverage what you give me for your glory and for your goodness. When a man is down, it doesn't mean he's out. Number 4 in your notes, even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. This is good news. Even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. What was God's purpose for Samson's life? I've said it many times. He was supposed to help start to deliver God's people from the hand of the enemies, from the hands of the Philistines. Verse 29, Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them. His right hand on one, his left hand on the other. Verse 30, Samson says, let me die with the Philistines. The Bible says he pushed with all of his might. God gave him strength again, and the temple came down, and all the rulers and all of those false worshipers, all of those real God haters, they died. The last line says he killed many more when he died than while he lived. He pushed him down with all of his might, and everything came crumbling down and destroyed more of God's enemies when he died than during all of the years that he was alive. And it just goes to show you, I know some of you don't like that. That seems really politically incorrect. But I'm sitting here telling you that even in our failures, God can still take you and use you for his purpose. Even if you've messed up, it's not over yet. You're not what you did. You are who God says you are. And gentlemen, if you're not dead, you're not done. There's more in you. I'm urging you to stop living in remorse. Stop dwelling on the past. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have done that. No one's ever going to trust me again. I'm a financial failure. I can't keep up with the Joneses. Quit your whining. If you are a believer in Christ, you have the same spirit in you that raised Christ from the dead. You may be down, but you're not out. Be a man of God. Oh, I just messed everything up so bad. Well, guess what? That kind of makes your story a little better. I mean, you look what God brought you out of. I've spent years lying. And I've spent years as an addict. I've spent years locked in a pornographic fantasy world. But guess how much better God looks when everybody sees that God took you out of the darkness and brought you into the light. He's not finished with you yet. And so, gentlemen, the last point moving forward, I have a couple of lines there in your notes, and I hope that you have them. If you don't, you can grab them on the way out. And I have two questions for you, and I really would pray that you would be honest and open and sincere. You don't have to share them with anybody. But the first question is, what pillars are you pushing down? What pillars do you need to push down? And I want you to get specific. I mean, men are pretty simple. But you need to get specific and write down some pillars that you need to push down. I have to write down everything because I have the spiritual gift of forgetting. My wife sent me to the grocery store recently to get some fruit because she wanted to make some smoothies. We've been in this smoothie thing for the last 6 months. I mean, we just love smoothies. And so I went to the grocery store, and about $200 later, I came home and didn't have any frozen fruit at all. Because I'm a man. You need to figure out some pillars that you need to push down. And the second question is, how are you going to push them down? Some of us need to push down the pillars of pride. I need help. I'm alone. I'm messing up. I feel like a failure. I'm afraid. I don't know what's going on. I wish this hadn't happened or that hadn't happened. Some of us need to push down the pillar of pride and get some help and be honest and talk to people and let them know I need help. Some of you, as Brent talked about, it might be anger. Some of you need to push down the pillar of anger. I'm mad at the whole world. Usually in reality, you're just mad at yourself. You got to push down the pillar of anger. And here's where it gets real. You just can't say, I want to be different, and then not do anything different. If you want a different result, you got to do something different. Maybe you need to get some counseling. Maybe you need a spiritual mentor. Maybe you need to check yourself into rehab. Maybe you need to confess something to your wife. Maybe you need to confess something to some godly man in your circle. Maybe you need to confess to your small group. But you got to get real and you got to get honest. And you ought to stop being an every now and then Sunday church attender. You ought to be a real man. You ought to get your rear in gear and get your family involved in the church and actually try to grow spiritually. It's not just pretending. You need to do something about it. Maybe you know your marriage isn't perfect. You got a marriage that's in trouble. Friend, God has anointed you as the man to lead that marriage. Lead your way into a better marriage. Love your way into a better marriage. You can do that. God has blessed you to do that. That's one of the reasons he made you. You shouldn't waste another day with your kids thinking one day I'll slow down and be a good dad, but right now I've got to make all the money for the family. Get over that stupid stuff and be a good dad now. One day your kids are going to be gone. Do something different. You've got a calling on your life. Don't wallow in the past. Stop and turn the other way and chase after God. Do what's right. Don't live in remorse. Do something different. Proverbs 24 says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Friends, I want you to know you can do it. If you're a believer, if you're a Christ follower, if you are a Christian, you have within you the resurrection power within your life. Do not give up. Don't just go to the gym and say, I'm going to be a stronger man. Satan loves to make strong men weak. We've learned in this series that our great God loves to make weak men strong. Don't just improve yourself. I'm going to be a better man. Be a man of God. Get to that point where Samson finally got to. Man, it took a long time. But he finally got to that point where he said, it's no longer about me. It's about him. Forever and ever and ever. Now, I want to tell you something quickly. What Samson did was absolutely right when he pushed those pillars down. Yes, he died. Yes, he became a hero. Yes, this became one of the greatest fourth grade Sunday school stories ever told. Yes, yes, yes. But what he did was right. And some of you are like, no, that's a terrible thing. He did terrible. He gave his life for this. No, it was really easy peasy. Men, if you know this, if you love somebody in your home and somebody breaks in and they're threatening somebody in your family, what would you do? You would, if you didn't have a gun, you'd grab a lamp and you would try to kill that person. You would at least die trying to save the person that you loved. That's what Samson did. But listen, he gave his life up one time, just once. But the Bible says that real men of God need to give their lives up every single day. Paul said, I die daily. And guys, I believe in you, and I'm telling you, you can be that man. That quote we used the first week, the world is yet to see what God can do through one man who is wholly surrendered to him. Oh, but preacher, I've just messed up so much. Friend, can I tell you how many times the enemy has told me that I should not be the pastor of this church because of stuff that I've done? But it's not about me. It's about him. I'm not living in remorse. My soul has been flooded with remorse over the years for different things. But I'm telling you, the best thing I've ever done is stop and turn towards him and pursue him. Remorse won't cut it. You need to repent. You need to give your life to him. Gentlemen, you need to come to that point where you say, it's not about me. It's about him. He's the one who made me. He created me for a reason. He's the one who made all these promises. He's the one who has all of a real power. He's the one who can forgive me. He's the one who can redeem me. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, I want to give you my entire life. I want to own it. What I've done is my responsibility. I own it, and I turn from it, and I turn towards you. The world is yet to see what God can do through one man whose heart is totally and wholly surrendered to him. Men, I want to challenge all of you to make that decision and to make that commitment. We're going to stand and sing, and whoever has any decision on your heart, if you want to step forward, we'd love to help you, love to pray with you. We can baptize you. We can talk with you. We can count anything you want. We're here to help. Let's stand and let's sing together.